Today, I've got a message for you that has to do with the great commandment, and that is the Shema, right? The word that the Lord left for Israel to never, ever stop passing the word to prepare the generations to come, okay? And so we're going to be in Deuteronomy 6:6-9, but the Shema covers verses 4-9, and this is the Jewish prayer to continue to always have the Lord in their hearts and their minds, and that the doors of their homes would always be covered in God's word and also their personal walk. So the reason I'm sharing this today is because we have Christian Education Sunday today. And as we've seen in America, there is a sad spiritual and academic decline in our country. And it's only going to get worse, right? Because of what they're teaching our young people. And so we see today's society become a people that call evil good and good evil. As Christians, we are being pressured more and more into accepting our society's secular worldviews and belief system. And so I want you to understand how much it's changed and why it's so important to wake up. Today in our secularist education in America, we have a world and life view that wasn't present 50 to 100 years ago. And what is that view? A world and life without God. And I want you to pay attention to that, because you see, when God is simply removed from a society, he does not have to be denied. Okay? He just has to be ignored. And this is one of the things that's happening in our society. We now live in a world where God has been banished from the lives of billions of people. And this is why we see so many people with unbelief in God. This is why Christian education plays a vital role. You know, if you have a child, the investment that you make in Christian education is worth everything, because see, that's what's going to lead them to a solid walk with God. And so, Christian education plays a vital role in our survival, not only for our nation, but for its people. And so I want you to understand how important Christian education is, okay? Christian education is not an alternative. It's not a luxury anymore. It's not even a good idea. It's the law of God. And this is where we failed as parents, many of us, because we have not carried the word forth and instilled it to the next coming generations. So it has to be given to our children in order to perform God's will here on earth. And we haven't been doing that, and the church has dropped the ball in many ways. So remember, it's the law of God that he gave our forefathers, and it's the same law in which he has given us. It is the great commandment. And not only did he give it to Israel, he gave it, right, for them to be able to continue multiplying and having the word of God established in all nations. Today I want to pray for Israel real quick before we start, and for the conflicts that are going on in the Middle East with them. And we're going to pray God's covering upon them. I know a lot of churches are doing that today to lift up Israel. And so let's pray real quick. Take a portion of our service and just lift them up. Father, I come to you asking you to guard Israel, to protect them, to continue to provide for them. And we do pray for the peace in Jerusalem, Lord. We ask you, Father, to be able to save many Jews, Father, as many are coming to Christ in this new harvest that you have provided for. I ask, Father, that many more come to you, Lord, so that they can see Messiah for who he truly is. You are the Messiah, Lord Jesus, and we ask that you bless, Father, Israel with protection, supplies, anything they need to be able to protect themselves. And we also pray for Palestine, Lord, that they will also open their eyes to you, because that's the only thing that's going to be bring true peace into the Middle East. It's a repentant, broken hearts of people who seek you to save them from their sins and from death and the penalty of death. And so we come together just lifting up Israel to you and asking you, Father, to be glorified with this prayer, and that you will do mighty things, because the body of Christ is praying together for Israel to have victory, Lord, not only for protection, but for salvation. And so we come together giving you the honor, the glory, the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So the great commandment, we all have a responsibility to do that for our children, grandchildren, and for the coming generations. Let's go to verse 6. And begin today's study in Deuteronomy 6. It says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. The first point I want to leave you with is that the great commandment must be internalized in the heart. Okay? It must be internalized in the heart. Okay, the Lord commands us to put His Word in our hearts. Now, how are we to put God's Word in our hearts? Well, we must begin by meeting Jesus personally. We have to come to Him and give Him our lives, to surrender our lives to Him. We must literally place the very words of God, the Bible, in our hearts. And so we must literally place ourselves in submission to God. We must study His Word. We must meditate upon them, memorize them, and apply them to our lives. Let's go to Psalm 119, verse 11. We're also to treasure the Word of God in our hearts as well. Your heart have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you, said the psalmist. Isn't that where the treasure really is, when your heart is fully committed to God? See, and that's the same thing that applies to our nation. Our nation cannot manifest itself to stay strong unless the Word of God is a centerpiece in our nation. Okay? In other words, for a nation to be great politically, culturally, economically, militarily, legally, agriculturally, its people must have the Word of God deeply embedded in their hearts. This is what changes a person from the inside out. It must keep and obey God's Word completely. We can't be doing what we're doing to God and think we're going to be blessed. We're not. The world's going to get worse and worse the more we exclude God from being our everything. Okay? So God's principles must be deeply embedded within the law and the culture of the land. In other words, if it's going to remain great and prosperous, it's got to have God as its centerpiece. This is why America has been blessed in the past. And this is why in today's condition, if you notice, we're slipping from that greatness little by little. Losing the respect of other nations around us, right? We see the decline spiritually, morally. God has every reason to correct us right now if He wanted to. But He has been merciful to us. But the call for the great commandment is upon us all. Remember that education was a key piece in the beginning culture. 200 years ago, right? Or over 200 years of our nation's history. One of the things is education in this country was explicitly Christian. That was with design by God to protect us as a nation. For example, with respect to literacy, in the late 1700s, John Adams observed that to find an illiterate man in New England was as rare as finding a comet. That's what he said, because they were all being educated in the ways of God. So it's important to get that principle. In the era of the founding fathers, where education was explicitly Christian, there was widespread literacy. People knew how to read and write. And one of the things is that something happened there. And what happened? The rise of modern day education. And that modern day system, right, that we have let in the 60s, Christianity now is dwindling in its power and in its word and its accuracy of the word. In other words, the word is being watered down more and more every generation. So one of the things is that the introduction of these belief systems like secularism, right, that were brought in, and believing in secularism and evolution have been bringing a greater decline in the solidness of education. And I want you to remember that. In 2023, the U.S. Department of Education reported more than 77 million Americans lacked simple literacy. Okay, think about that. 773 million adults worldwide are considered illiterate now. Think of the numbers, right? At four-year colleges, 20% of freshman students enroll in remedial classes. That is astounding, right? That is something that should not be. See, without the Lord in its place here in the United States, without the Lord placed in the hearts of people, a society will eventually crumble, no matter how educated they get. So what is God trying to show us in these days? If He left us, right, the church, the body of believers, in charge, what has happened for that decline to happen? We haven't followed the great commandment. We haven't been feeding our children and the next generations the Word of God. See, true education has to have God-centered, and it begins in the heart. That is the warehouse that stores all the information that comes from God's word. And the more you have and treasure that word in your heart, the more you have it, the more blessed you're going to be, not only as a family, but the families after. It's sad to see the decline of the United States, especially some of you that grew up during my times as well, or even before. You've seen the decline, and it's very evident. We need to get that word back in our hearts, in brokenness and repentance, so that God can start restoring our nation. How many can say amen to that? Amen. All right, and then the second point I want to bring to you today. The great commandment must be communicated to our children. Look at verse 7 in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now the reason that Moses was giving this law to the people was because Israel had a tendency to go worship other gods. And they used to slip from being faithful to the Lord. And the only way that you and I can have the children know the importance of God's law is to teach it to them. And when did he say to teach it to them? Whether they are outside, whether it's in the morning or the evening, whether we are working or resting. Any activity that we find ourselves conducting, that is when we are diligently to teach our children the oracles of God. Isn't that true? And this is one of the things that we have to do as parents. We have to instill God's word continually. And God commanded that the stories of the mighty acts of Israel's history be passed on from one parent to the children to the next generation. It wasn't just because he wanted us to know history. He wanted us to preserve the belief system that he had in place. And so today I want to remind you, God commanded us to pass on the baton to our children. This is how important it is. When we have to pass this baton on, it's because it's going to preserve the nation. And there's going to be a remnant there faithful to God. Without it, they'll just mix into the world and the world system will corrupt them. And how many of us have seen that effect on people now? Young people going to colleges and then their faith is shaken or many times even stripped. And so they get lost in all the secularism and all the teachings of humanism and postmodernism, all the isms. And so they're misguiding our children in school. Look at Psalm 78. And let's go there. And let's go to verses 4 to 6. It tells us, be ready to tell the generations to come to preserve God's word. Psalm 78, verse 4 through 6. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, Israel, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children. Our job is to pass it on, to communicate it to our children. And the reason for this is so that we will not make the same mistakes that our ancestors made before. The more we teach them solid doctrine, the more they're going to be making less mistakes than what our generation did. And this is one of the things that God wants. How many of you understand there's a spiritual battle for lives right now going on? And Satan is loose, trying to destroy those lives. And the educational system is one of the biggest tools he uses in order to instill that worldview in young people. See, the battle over God in the public schools of America took a downward spiral in 1963. Okay, this is when religious principles were prohibited in public schools. School prayer, Bible reading, and the Ten Commandments began to be removed from public schools. And this is what started the effect. From then on, this demonic force has been at work to stifle God's word from being passed on to future generations. And this is why we're struggling so much. That was a design Satan used, to use the educational system to brainwash our kids with the pollution of secular worldviews. Because God has been removed from public schools, right? It has not only had tremendous spiritual consequences, but academic as well. Let me give you some statistics. Public schools have become torn by drugs, alcohol, sex during school, violence, gay lifestyles practiced on campuses, shootings killing many people in the process. SAT and ACT scores have plummeted. And one of the things, there's a satanic agenda to win over the minds and the hearts of this new generation. And the enemy is trying to get parents, teachers, leaders to give and quit teaching God's principles to our children. Let's go to Ephesians 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. That's our rule. That's our marching orders from God. We're not to provoke our children, but to show them the truth of God's word. This is where we're having a lot of issues now. Parents not teaching that word. And so many of the children are running the homes in America. It's not the parents leading anymore. It's the students. See, parents, you are to talk to your children all the time about the word of God. That's what scripture is saying here in the Shema. And one of the things is that many parents worry, well, they're not going to like me. I'm not going to be their buddy. And you know what? Parenting never says you're to be their buddy. You're to be their instructor. And so one of the things, you're not parenting to be liked by your children. And this is a pattern I see all the time now. I have to struggle ministering to the parents what is right and what is wrong versus the children calling the shots at home. So it's very important. We understand. We need to talk to them about scripture and the importance of keeping it and preserving it. See, every opportunity you have when you arise, any opportunity during the midday, during the evening, you have to tell young people they need to grow in the knowledge of the word. One of the things I hear from parents, they say, but my kids won't let me. They don't open up conversationally. And you know what? You need to spend time again with them, not let the apparatus bring up your children. Not the phones, not the computers. See, the privilege of being a parent, a Christian parent today, is that you can make them shine in a fallen world. You can make them be bold in a fallen world. And this is important. Okay, scripture says that Job used to do that every morning for his kids. When he knew they were doing wrong, he would consecrate them to the Lord every single day. Why? Because he knew the importance of his children walking with God. Let's go to Job 1:5 real quick. One of the things, he offered sacrifices on behalf of his children. In other words, he bloodied his hands. He sweated, right? He expended energy in prayer for his children. And this is what God wants for us today as parents. When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all, each child. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did what? Continually. This is our jobs as parents. It's never over. How many of you understand that even if they leave your home, you're still a parent, you're still covering your children, you're still praying for them? Why? It's a never-ending battle, spiritual battle. Okay? So one of the things is, as a father and a mother, remember never to lose that heart for continuing to teach them the word. You can pray for your children, stand in the gap for them, and say, Lord, I don't see my son walking with God the way they should. And you keep intensifying the prayer. Lord, I don't see my daughter walking with God the way they should. And so, Lord, pour your spirit upon them. Open their eyes to understand who you are and embrace your word. My prayer is that my children will honor you with their lives. And one of the things that you will shed blood, right, as far as you, it's going to cost you a sacrifice to lift up your children continually, to cover them in the word of the Lord and in the spirit of God. Lord, have your angels encamp around our children, Father, all the time, because I know they need you. And right now, I don't see that fruit. Penetrate that hardened heart so they will not be destroyed. Those are prayers that you can lift up so that your children will be protected. See, no matter what else you may or do or not do as parents, One thing you should always do is pray for your children daily and consecrate them to God. Let's go to Proverbs 22:6. Train up the child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. We are instructors. And when we are in training with our children, we cannot give them what we don't have. We must be into the Word of God ourselves. Because if we are not, we're not going to be able to lead them and guide them through the Scripture. So the first thing as parents we have to do is be sharing that Word with our children, so that they in turn will grow in the knowledge of the Word. And how many of you understand young people always have a lot of questions? You must be ready to answer those questions when it pertains apologetically to the study of the Word of God. We have to teach them truth, and we have to continually do it. It's our responsibility to cover up our children daily in prayer and in the Scriptures. Okay, so the Word of God must be internalized in the heart first. It must be communicated to the children. Lead by example in the way you study the Word and in the way you pray for them. And then lastly, it must be exhibited in public. Look at verses 8 and 9 of the Shema. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and of your gates. Okay, so it must be exhibited publicly. The Lord said, I want every fiber of the Shema, of the Word of God, to cover your homes and to be within you. And so one of the things that you have is the Jewish custom of phylacteries on the wrist and on the forehead, right? The mezuzahs were also on the front post of their home, where it contained the Shema as well, the scriptures that we're reading today from verse 4 to verse 9. And so he says, look, I want you to acknowledge publicly who I am, so people know who I am and that they can come to me. And so the Jews literally had boxes or phylacteries which were worn on their head or on their wrist, containing the Word of God. And it contained four portions of Scripture included in these verses from 4 to 9. And Jewish men would be constantly reminded of God's Word. So think about that. Always knowing that the Word was with you, right? You had it on your forehead, you had it on your wrist, and so publicly people saw your faith in action. This is what this world that is full of hurt and pain, and where people are looking, need more than anything, to see our life in Christ exhibited publicly. That we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we know it's the power of God unto salvation. And so as we're ministering to this world that's fallen, it's a great opportunity right now for many people to come to Christ. During this hardship with Palestine, a lot of Jews have been giving their life to Jesus. And it's been a blessing to see that. See, and Jewish men, when they were always continually carrying the Word of God, were publicly professing who their faith was in, Yahweh. Right? And so the children would have a constant reminder every day and every hour of the day. They would look at their father's foreheads and wrists. Think about that. The children saw the Word in them, right? On them, literally. And so the children would get to see that. That's what I want from you guys and your families, that the children of God may see the Word of God in you. Then they will want to follow the Lord as well. It's important to always be an example of a ferocious studier of the Word of God. And one of the things is we have to be in there studying the Word day and night. See, just like the phylacteries that were worn on one's person, that mezuzah that was in their box as well, people would see that every day as it was displayed in front of the house. Today in the new covenant, God wants it all over us, within us, so that when we exhibit publicly our love for Christ, people see that. See, God's intent wasn't for the people, the Jews, to have mezuzahs and phylacteries, but that his word would be written in every fabric of their homes and their minds. In other words, in their homes and their minds, it was all about him, the Savior. This is what we have to learn today. When we are teaching our young people how to walk with God, the only way they're going to see it in us is if publicly we move forward as well, and that show them that we're not embarrassed or ashamed of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it tells us, do everything for the glory of God. Even when you teach the word of God to your children, don't puff up and say, man, I've got a lot of knowledge I'm giving you. No, I want you to apply the word that you've got the same way God showed grace on me. I want God to show grace on you. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, especially the teaching of the word of God to the future generations. Now I want you to think about the Christian school that we have today. Okay, Christian schools are constantly coming under attack by the enemy. There's spiritual warfare all the time for the souls of these young people. Our teachers get hit heavily. And one of the things is our homes sometimes are hit heavily. And there's many Christian schools that close because of the attacks of the enemy. And I want you to be praying for the Christian school staff. Because we go through a lot because we're fighting a fight that is very important to us. And that is that the minds of these young people God has entrusted to us not perish. And that whether they're teaching it at home or not, we're going to do that because it's the right thing to do to prepare the next generation. So the enemy gets mad and he hits us with everything he has, right? Many schools are also sued because they won't hire homosexual staff. We won't hire, right? This belief system or lifestyle. We're also sued because of that. And one of the things is that we need to always have a school that is going after God's heart. So that's hard to do because we have to stand up for what is wrong and not go into the world's pressure. Our staff is there not for a paycheck. I want you to understand that. They're there because they love the Lord. So the enemy is attacking Christian schools so that he can rob the next generation of passing on God's word. Isn't that tremendous? Think about that. Pray for our Christian schools and staff. We're fighting against the forces of evil every day as we minister to these young children. We're correcting them, even though the world tells us not to, because we don't want to forget the great commandment. God left us that word specifically because we can never forget about God being the center of education as well. The Christian school prays for every child every day. We lay hands on many of the children throughout the day. And we are blessed. Thank you, sir. So, as we're going through all these things, it's not easy running a Christian school. As a matter of fact, it drains the church's funds many times. But it's worth it. Because when you see a life change and you see those young people come to Christ, that is payment in full. You know what I mean? It's like you see those lives so beautifully touched by God and you see a younger generation coming up that's going to be bold and doing tremendous things for the kingdom of God. And this is what I live for. This is my calling on earth. Is to see young people on fire for Jesus Christ. And so we need your help. We need your prayers for the Christian school. We need your prayers to cover the school. And remember, we must never, ever forget to proclaim the love of God over that school. The school has been running ever since I've been in Christian education for 37 years. And one of the things that I've seen God do is provide miraculously. There was a time I had no money to pay our school staff. And I had to tell the staff, you know what? I've reached the end of my resources personally and as a church. We cannot keep the school going anymore. I am going to go and I'm going to teach and I'm going to stay for whoever stays. That was probably one of the hardest times about 8 years, 9 years ago. And one of the things, it's been a while, I forget the time, but one of the things is that I was praying to the Lord and I said, Lord, I know you have the school here for a purpose. And we need a miracle from you to keep it going. And one of the things that happened was that I was telling the parents at the PTO meeting that I had to let them know where we were at as a school. I told them I can't go on anymore supporting the school, but I know God will provide. I understand if you want to pull out your children, you know, all the nine yards to prepare them. Well, at the end of the meeting, one of the parents came up and said, you know what, Pastor, we've been praying. We have a little motel in Truth or Consequences, and we've been praying to who to donate it to. And it was funny because when I said, okay, I'll take it, I didn't even look at the condition or anything. So anyway, once I got to the property, I saw that it was run down. It was, being used the wrong way by drifters and things like that. But I said, this is God's provision, man. So I said, we'll just give it some elbow grease on the weekends. We'll get it up to par and get it ready. And guess what happened? When I showed the teachers, they were going like, okay, pastor's lost it, you know. There's no way we can pay our teachers with that. And this is the work of God, the miracle he did. We put that thing up for sale in December. And it sold in March. And the Lord was able to get us through the year because of that. When I came back and I told the teachers, guess what? God has provided. You know, you're going to get your back pay, everything, you know. And we kept the school rolling. And ever since then, you know, God has been so kind. Without sacrifice, you will never have something great. And this is why I love the school so much, because I know it's a calling from God. Christian education doesn't cost, it pays. And it pays great dividends. A lot of you have to be thinking about, where am I going to place my children? In the world's secular system to educate them? Am I going to go back to Egypt, or am I going to be able to invest in Christian education? And I want you to remember that, because see, Rosie and I won't have new cars for that same reason. Because we decide, okay, what's more important, a Christian education or that I drive in style? Said, you know what? I need these young minds of my grandkids and my children to be walking with God. And that's why I don't drive a newer car. I can, but I always invest in the lives of people first, because I know that's going to pay bigger dividends. Okay? God governs all the affairs of men. If we continue to trust God, he will always provide, not only for our Christian school, but for your lives. And this is what I want you to understand. There's times that we forget about how powerful, how good God is, and we can't let that happen. We have to proclaim the love of God and what he does. Let's not forget that he's seated on the throne in all sovereignty and power. And so he is the God who's going to continue to provide for us. One of the things is that let us never imagine that we no longer need his assistance. You know, that's what Israel did. They thought, we don't need God. We can go to other gods. We can't. No other God can provide what God provides. And this is one of the issues here. God governs all the affairs of men. Let's go to Psalm 127, verse 1. We cannot build anything Christ-worthy without him doing it. And this is what he wants to show us. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Lord Jesus, help us. Build a ministry that is always yours. I don't want to build a house based on my strength, but on yours. And that's what he was showing me when he provided for us. He said, you know what? Just surrender. Stop trying to carry with burdens that don't belong on your shoulders. This is the ministry that I have raised up. Let me provide for you and stop fighting. And that's what he's done ever since I've been serving him. See, without his concurring aid, our projects will be confounded. They won't work. And we ourselves shall become a reproach, and we'll get far away from God. And one of the things, the future ages will suffer for it. May the Lord always be the center of our education. And this is why we fight for the Christian school. So let's apply the great commandment, not only to our lives, to our homes, but to whatever we do. And God will bless what we do for him, and for his honor, and for his glory. Amen.